Thank you. All right. I know. Am I good, Daniel? Am I on? All right, we're good. I know you're all excited because it's just sitting in that today is your last day of Friday classes for this semester. You have no idea how excited we as teachers are as well for the same reason. Praise Jesus. I'm going to need a lot of crowd participation today. Some of you are very good at that regularly. Some of you, this will be something completely new for you, okay? But first, I need everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up. We're not playing heads or tails. We're gonna sing a song, and I'm going to lead it, so I need your help. All right? We're gonna sing. No, you shouldn't record this on your phone. No. We're gonna sing the things I used to do. I don't do them anymore. Okay, but listen, when we get to the chorus and we do the great change, I'm gonna point to one side. It's gonna be great, great change, or great change. So you've got to pay attention, okay? It's just these two sides. I won't confuse you with doing like four different sections or anything like that. Keep it simple. I know it's Friday. All right? So we're just going to sing one or two verses, but I need you to help me. All right? Everybody's participating. It's not going to get good. All right? Here we go. Everybody singing with me. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born again. One more verse, things I used to say. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Sit down. All right. All of that, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. All of that was just an exercise to condition you for the rest of the message. They told me, somebody told me, I don't remember who, and there's this maybe completely off base. It makes a little bit of sense to me, though. They said during the song service and the preliminaries to the preaching, they have you, you know, stand up and sit down and all those different things. And they do that to condition you, to get you used to responding to what the person behind the pulpit is saying, so that when it comes invitation time, you'll respond. And there's, I don't know how much real psychology is in that or not. But I will say this, the people that you see, for instance, when he has prayer time and you see people that will go up to the altar and pray, oftentimes those are the same people that will go to the altar during the invitation time. When you have all of those things, the people that don't usually participate, okay? And you get conditioned to participate. And I'm going to need all of you, as we get into the message a little bit here, to participate with me. And so I want to make sure that you're tuned in to me, because it'll make a big difference. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, starting in verse number 4, it says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Jump with me, if you will, over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And starting in verse number 18, it says this: Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Very similar passages in those two passages. Basically, you get the idea that God wants us to love him and to love his word and to obey him and obey his word. He says, I want you to, you know, write it down between your eyes, on your arms, on your doorposts. Talk about it all the time. When you're sitting down, when you're rising up, when you're walking, when you're sleeping, always be talking about it. Always be discussing it. Have it in the front of you. The book of Deuteronomy, as we know, is a book of remembrance. It's Moses, right before he dies, he goes through the commandments and the different things and what God has done and what basically everything that brought the children of Israel to where they're at right now. In chapter 9, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, down there, he talks about the fact that he says God's going to deliver you into this promised land, and he's not doing it because of your righteousness. He's doing it because of their wickedness and because of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not because of you. He reminds them of how wicked that they really are. He tells them of those things. But then he's in these passages and in several other passages throughout the book of Deuteronomy, he says, look, keep and remember the things that God has told you. And that's kind of a little bit of a foundation. Stay with me in Deuteronomy 11. I want you to look at one more passage starting in verse number 26. Verse number 26 says this: Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. He basically, you know, you've heard the saying, just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Moses tells the children of Israel here, he said, look, I'm setting two choices before you today. I'm going to use something to represent those two choices, and you'll understand. I'll give you a little bit of explanation here. So today, just for the purposes of illustration, this is the Bible, in case those of you that haven't seen that before. That's going to represent the blessing. And these are gummy worms. Those are going to represent the curse, because hell is a place where the fire is not quenched and where the worm dieth not. So hell is going to be the curse, not the gummy worms are a curse. I like gummy worms, okay? But so we have, what does this represent?
A blessing.
What is this? A curse. Look at that. Crowd participation. You're doing a great job. Moses says to the children of Israel, he says, look, I'm setting two things before you, a blessing and a curse. And he says, you get to choose. It really, you've seen those commercials, I forget what they're for, but you know, where they're faced with different choices, and the little girl, she's got all these different presents, she's having a birthday party, and then over here with some wrapping paper on it is a pony, a real live pony. And they're like, which present do you want to open first? She's like, oh, the pony. Okay, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? That's what I want to open. I want, and there's a lot of things in life it's easy for you and I to see, well, that just makes sense. If I was to say to you today, if I said, Brother Dominguez, would you rather hold up a sign or sit in your chair? He'd rather sit in his chair. He told me before, he said, please don't have any signs for me to hold today. No, but that's an easy choice. But if I said, Brother Dominguez, would you rather have from God a blessing or a curse? A blessing. I think, I would hope, anybody in this room, if I said to you, two choices, really pretty simple, and you get to pick. It's completely up to you. You can choose a blessing or a curse. When God blesses us, there's no blessing like the blessing of God. But if God curses us, there's no curse like that either. Young people, my heart's desire for you is that you would live a blessed life. But I don't get to choose that for you. I can want that for you, but I can't choose it for you. I can teach you how to have it. We have that's basically what our teachers, what our faculty, what we do at Hiles Anderson College is teach you how you can live a blessed life. But none of us can pick it for you. We can't choose it. I need somebody to help me with an illustration, and after much prayer and contemplation, I decided that Jace Garcia is going to help me today. Come on up here, Jace. I'm not going to make him wear this. I think we all know. Brother Eggers, can you make this a blindfold and put this on him? Make sure he can't see. Yeah, take off the glasses. I'll hold those. Now, we might not need the blindfold. You can't see. All right, I got you. That's going to help me. I told Brother Dominguez, I said, I'm going to need Justin Potter to speak out of turn at some point during this message. Never disappoints me. All right, are we good?
Well.
Jace, can you see me?
No.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
That's good. All right, now this is a part where I'm going to, again, need your participation. In a minute, I'm going to spin Jace around a few times. And then I'm going to tell Jace to start walking. I don't want Jace to get hurt. But I'm not going to, listen, I'm not going to say anything. You are. So, listen, hold, just stick with me for a minute. I won't let you die. I may let you get hurt, but I won't let you die. So, when Jace starts walking in a dangerous direction, I need you to yell no. Jace, if they yell no, you need to take a different direction. Once he starts heading in the right direction, you can say yes. The only thing I'm going to say, Jace, is stop. And if I say stop, I need you to stop. I will make sure you can hear me over them. If I've got to grab you and stop you or something, I will, okay? I'm going to try not to get you hurt, all right? But come over here. I'm not even really asking you to trust me. I don't care if you trust me or not. All right? So what are you going to say if he goes the wrong direction? What are you going to say if he goes the right direction? You're in trouble.
Yeah,
I wish you had better friends.
Me too.
All right.
No smooth.
Please don't get him hurt, all right? I need you to spin around a few times. Go ahead. They're already trying to mess with you. All right. And stop. Okay. Now, when I say go, I want you to start walking slowly. Slowly. And you tell him if he gets to where it needs to be a no or if he can keep going, okay? Ready? Begin.
I can't tell what anyone's saying.
That's kind of the point. He said he can't tell what anyone's saying.
I dare you.
Listen to just me. Okay. Now, I want to show you something, okay? Now, Jace, you take the blindfold off. Okay? You can just take it all the way off. Now, if I take Jace now, and I spin him around a few times, okay? All right, stop. Now, Jace, I want you to stay up on the top level of the platform. I want you to start walking. You can have your eyes open. If he goes someplace you don't want him to, you yell no. If he's going in the right direction, you yell yes, okay? You walk until I tell you to stop and stay on the top of the platform. Go. Okay, that's good. Stop. Stop. He's getting his glasses. He didn't stop. He doesn't listen well. All right, you can go be seated. The difference, really, you all were yelling both times. The difference is, he could see where he was going. The thing that God has given us to help us be able to see where we're going is this right here.
Amen.
And then he says, I will guide and direct you. He says, if you will love and obey me, and if you will love and know and follow and talk about my word, you can go through life with your eyes open. And it doesn't matter what the whole crowd is saying. Somebody yelled when Jay said he couldn't see anything. Just listen to me. Sometimes where you will go wrong is in a crowd of people that love you and that are trying to invest in you and have given their lives to teach you and are all yelling, go this way. This is the blessed way. This is the way that God promised a blessing. This is over on this side. Would you please, would you please, would you please go this way? There's danger over there. There's danger here. If Jason listened to you guys, he would have fallen off the steps and you would have enjoyed it. He would not have enjoyed it. Here's the thing about the people that are trying to get you to walk off the step. They'll enjoy watching it. But you won't enjoy it. He says, this is the blessed life. This is the blessing. And he says, if you'll know me, if you'll love me, if you'll listen to me, if you'll take my word, if you'll hide it in your heart, if you'll talk about it, if you'll talk to your children about it, talk with your family about it, talk with your roommates about it, if that is the heartbeat of your life, he says, I set before you a blessing and a curse. And you can walk this way with your eyes wide open. You can see. I want you to look at another passage of Scripture with me, staying in Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10, this is one of those verses Pastor talks about the Bible in one verse, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 12 says this, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does God want from me? Most of you are here at Hiles Anderson College wondering that very thing. What does God want from me? And Pastor mentioned it when he talked about the Lord's will. He says, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. He says, this is what God wants from you. He wants you to love him. He wants you to fear him. He wants you to walk in his ways. He wants you to follow the way, the path that he has set out for you. That's what he wants for you, but keep reading. This is important. Verse number 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So he says, to do the things that I've told you to do. Moses said, God gave me to you to tell you what he wanted, and now what he expects from you, what he wants for you, is to do the things that I've laid out for you. But everybody together, look at the end of verse 13. What is that last phrase? What are those last words right there? For whose good? For thy good. He says to the children of Israel, he says, God wants you to talk about him, to know his word, to set it before you, to know his commandments, to keep his statutes, to walk in his way, to serve him, to love him. And he repeats it several times throughout the book of Deuteronomy. But that little phrase, Deuteronomy 10:13 at the end of it, he says, it's for your good, for thy good. Moses, what's going to happen to Moses right after the end of at the end of this book, what's going to happen to Moses? He's going to die. He's going to die. For most of you, some of you are graduating in just a couple of weeks. Some of you have several years left. When you go out from this place, you understand that the teachers aren't going with you. You know, if you go out on the mission field, it would be a blessing to you to take Brother Snipes with you, but he's probably not going with you. So he's here giving his life to teach you to do some things that he knows when you get out there will be for your good. Your English teachers, your finance teachers, your everybody, that the faculty, the staff, the administration here, pastor here, he comes and teaches you every week and preaches to you every week, and he's doing it because he knows that God has a blessing and a curse. He knows that the crowd out there doesn't care if you get hurt. In fact, not only do they not care, that's what they want. That's what they want. Now, there are scattered a few places throughout this crowd, a couple people that care about Jace, that were worried that I might actually let him walk off the stairs and get hurt. And they didn't want that. I'm guessing if his mom was here, she probably would have been mad at me, and she would have been worried, gasping maybe as he got close to the edge and telling all of you to shut up so that her son doesn't fall off the stairs, right? Because she cares. But the fact of the matter is, listen, the fact of the matter is, that's somebody that loves him and cares about him and wants him to be blessed. I don't want him to fall off the stairs. That's why I stopped him and told him not to listen to you. But in your life, young people, you will be surrounded with people that want to see you be a shipwreck. It is vitally important. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. Okay, Jace listened to y'all and you all were yelling all kinds of craziness. But what if everybody was quiet? And Jace tried to do that all by himself. And I told him, hey, you just keep walking. And then nobody said anything and we just let him walk. It would have been the same result as if he had listened to you. Some of you will go through life listening to the crowd. Some of you will go through life trying to do it by yourself. In both cases, the result in the end will be the same. You need the Word of God.
Amen.
You need God in your life. You need regular communication with Him. Nobody knows you better. Nobody cares more about you. And oftentimes, I feel like God is up there saying, please don't go that way. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. And you know, sometimes in the crowd, there'll be a crowd of people. You may be surrounded here at Hiles Anderson College with a crowd of people that are trying to keep you from going off the steps. And you've got one person out there, whether it's a podcast or some social media something or some other person that you read a book about or something else, one person that says, you listen to me, and a whole crowd of people trying to keep you from going off the steps, and you'll listen to that one person, and they'll walk you right off the edge of that because they don't care about you. They don't even know you. God says, look, I have for you, I have a blessing and a curse. Some of you sitting in front of me right now are choosing a curse. Brother King, it's not that big a deal. Do you really think that this is that big a deal? I really think it's that big a deal. You say, well, when you put it like that, nobody's going to say, I'm going to choose a curse. And that's kind of the point. You don't want to say, I'm going to choose a curse. And the children of Israel, they told Moses over and over again, hey, we're in, we're all in, we're on board. And the Bible says, if you read in the book of Joshua, God blessed. But as soon as you get to the book of Judges, the first couple chapters, Joshua dies and his generation of people die. And the very next verse says, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. You see, Dr. Pins can't walk with God for you. Dr. Pins probably is not going out into the ministry or into life from here with you. Neither is Mrs. Siegward or Mrs. Moffat. I was talking to Mrs. Moffat this morning. She said, Brother King, I do everything I can. I pour my life into these students because I want them to see in a practical way what the joy of serving Jesus. But she's not going with you. He says, look, love God, love His book, love His commandments. I've set in front of you this blessing and this curse. I believe that if I asked every person in this room, if I said, would you rather have a blessing or a curse? Unless you were just trying to be funny, you would say, I want a blessing. And really, today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life, you get to choose. Not only do you get to choose, young people, you have to choose. You have to choose. You are choosing right now a blessing or a curse. There is no middle ground. There's no in between. God says, either you're on my page or you're not. Either you're with me or you're not. Here's the thing about it. The Bible talks about in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, talking about that's the chapter there is all the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the parable of the prodigal. And all of those, you notice about all of them, they were the sheep, the coin, and the prodigal were all in the family. They were all part of it. They were all there at one time. You're talking about Christian people. In the middle of that, he says in Luke 15, 7, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. If you're in the right crowd, they're going to do everything. If you get away, if you get out of the way, if you get a little bit sideways, they're going to do everything they can to pull you back, to bring you back in line to where you're supposed to be. Here's the thing. In heaven, joy shall be in heaven. Joy shall be in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Why is that? I believe with all of my heart people that have gone on before you, people that have sat in these seats, people that are in heaven today, want nothing more than for you to experience a blessing. And when you're on the wrong side of things, when you're headed towards a curse and you get things turned around, I believe there is great rejoicing over that one sinner that repents. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says, look, go through life with your eyes open. Go through life focused on the dangers, being aware of the dangers of what's going on around you, the potential, the people, the things, all of the distractions that could come into your life that would keep you from experiencing a blessing. And he says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. There is a great cloud of people around you, some living, some here in this room, some back at home, wherever your church is, your home pastor, your parents, other people that love you, that have invested in your life, that want nothing more in your life than for you to experience a blessing. People all around you, people here in this place, but back home and other places, that have literally invested their entire lives in you experiencing a blessing, but they don't get to choose it for you. He says, if you'll love God, the Word of God, follow Him, serve Him, keep His commandments. Many of you in this room, and I don't know how many, I'm not even going to try to guess. Many people in this room right now at Hiles Anderson College have your own plans when you get out of this place. If your plans aren't submitted to God's plans, I tell people all the time, it's great to have a plan. You need to have a plan. You need to pray about it, ask God for His direction, and have a plan, but then be willing for God to change that plan at any moment. It's not wrong to have plans. But how much is God a part of that plan? You understand that God knows where that, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, unless he finds the wrong wife. God has that person. Same thing with a husband. Same thing with a ministry. God has a plan for you. His plan for you is to experience a blessing. Every person in this room, I can say that without a doubt, God wants to bless your life. That doesn't mean that you won't go through difficult times. It doesn't mean you won't have trials. It doesn't mean you won't have testings. It doesn't mean any of those things. It does mean He will go with you through those things that He allows in your life. But He says, I want you to live a blessed life. And you can. If you don't live a blessed life, it will be because you chose not to. For you this morning, He says again in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy in verse 13 at the end of the verse there, after he says to love God and to fear Him and to serve Him and to keep His commandments, he says, this is for your good. Do you have a plan this morning that you would say, I think this is what's best. This is what's best for me. I just have to do what's best for me. You ought to do what's best for you. I think every person in this room should do what's best for you. And what's best for you is exactly what God has planned for you. Who are you listening to this morning? What crowd are you listening to? Or what one person are you listening to? Sometimes it might be a close friend. It might be a person in your dorms. It might be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It might be somebody at work that is influencing you away from, they're influencing you to the curse. You say, Brother King, I can't go to hell. I'm saved. Praise God for that. But that doesn't mean you're going to live a blessed life here on earth. Why would you let anybody keep you from a blessed life? Or anything. Some of you are holding on to things in your life that are going to keep you from living a blessed life. It's the children of it. We can read the Bible and see over and over again, and it's easy for me to read it, and I say, Brother Stubblefield, I don't understand. He lays it out for them. He says, if you'll do this, I'm going to do all these things for you, and if you do this, I'm going to curse you. You're going to suffer judgment. And then generation after generation after generation, people choose not to do what he said would result in a blessing. If I laid $1 million in cash up here on the pulpit, and I laid a lump of coal on this side, and I said, look, think about this carefully. You really ought to pray about this decision. It's a really, I'm not kidding. It's that foolish to pray about whether or not you want to do what God wants you to do. You say, but Brother King, what my plan is the $1 million. All the millions of dollars in all the world aren't going to get you the blessings of God. Who are you listening to? What are you choosing? And he makes it so simple. I actually had this discussion yesterday with my 11-year-old daughter, and she understood it very clearly, so I have a great deal of confidence that at least half of you will understand this. Look at those verses one more time, and I'm going to be done. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God. I said, Chloe, what does that mean? She said, if we obey, we're going to be blessed, and if we disobey, we're going to be cursed. It really is, young people, that simple. That's what the Christian life comes down to. It comes down to obedience. A blessing or a curse. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. What are you choosing right now? Who are you listening to right now? A blessing or a curse? God loves you so much, young people. Words of the song she's playing. Trust and obey. You don't have to understand. You're not going to understand much of the time. God says, just trust me and obey. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what can happen. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for these young people. I thank you that every person in this room can live a blessed life. Your heart for us is to live a blessed life. God, help us to remove the things in our life that would hinder that from taking place. Help us to listen to godly counsel. Help us to know and love your word, to follow your commands. Lord, I pray that you would bless this place. And the way that you'll bless this place is by blessing the people that are here. But Lord, the choice is up to us. It's up to me just as much as it's up to every person in this room, whether you're going to bless me or curse me. God help us, I pray, as we finish up this service this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dominguez.